Stacey Northover from Belief Housing. You're the Anglicare section there. I guess you're the Executive General Manager of Belief Housing. How long have you been with Belief Housing, and what drew you to this occupation or this job that you're doing?
So I've worked within Belief Housing, previously Anglicare SA Housing, for 3 years this Christmas, actually. And my driver has very much been, I grew up in community housing in the UK, and this year is actually my 25th year of working in the industry. So it's very much part of the fire in my belly to make sure that I continue the work that I was very much very grateful to benefit from by way of living in a community housing home as a child, and to really advocate and work with people in very similar situations to how I was, and make sure that, you know, I continue that good work and work towards housing for everybody.
Yeah, well said. Well, congratulations on being part of something that, particularly now it seems, what is going on at the moment with housing, Stacey? The words crisis and dire have been used, and I guess there is a very small percentage of people now that can actually afford decent housing. So what is actually happening, Stacey? What's your observation?
It's almost like a perfect storm. I think the lack of supply over many, many years, regardless of what political party you sway towards, there's been this lack of supply of housing. And we end up in this position now where social housing that was once just for those people who were most vulnerable actually is now moving in towards a space where key workers, you know, our nurses and teachers and support workers actually can't afford housing. And they used to access housing through the private sector. Now they can't afford that because the wages have not risen with the price of rent. So as supply dwindles, those rents become far higher and far more unaffordable. And actually what we're starting to see with the interest rate rise is that over 40% of people with mortgages are in mortgage distress. So it's a really large, sorry, I think it's 40% of people with mortgages are spending 40% of their earnings. That's right, 40% of their earnings.
Yep.
So that is mortgage stress. That is 30% is the average is what you should be looking to spend on your rent or mortgage. We're at over 40% at this point by way of the interest rates that keep rising. So we're seeing people in rental stress. We're seeing people in mortgage stress. And this is only going to continue on into the future.
Yeah, I saw the figures. I saw the figures on the Belief Housing website with essential workers. It's quite drastic, isn't it? It's what we're getting, figures of 2% affordable, 7% the highest. Jeez,
yeah.
Why? I guess it currently, I know that there's a lot of people that are affected, Stacey, but is the gap between rich and poor in this instance being exemplified, magnified? These figures are dire figures.
Yeah, they are, and you know, that middle ground of people working, you know, people working now having to work two jobs. I've had I had a lady who was sleeping in a car with a child because she couldn't get a rental. It's actually affecting people that have never had this situation before, who, you know, work, pay taxes, really great citizens in our community, really are contributing. They actually can't afford to live within the city or suburbs that they serve. And I think, you know, post-COVID, these are the people that took care of us. You know, and we should be taking far better care of them. And it's not, you know, I work in South Australia, it was across the nation. And I think, you know, the start of green shoots are coming with the Housing Affordability Future Fund and Housing Australia, with the government, the federal government, which is great, but it's still not going to deliver homes tomorrow next year. You know, we've got to build. And so it's not that I'm forever the optimist, Greg. I'm always the optimist.
Well, yeah, you've got to be.
I think that there's so many opportunities. opportunities. I think there's lots of opportunities, and there'll be lots of great things that we can celebrate, but it is going to take a while, and we're going to feel some more pain, I think, before we get to the starting to see some of these solutions work through.
Yeah, you say it so well, Stacey, and I know there's a lot of good people around the country doing a lot of good work. I have spoken with enough of these people to get the general feeling that there is a, as you say, your optimism is great, and my we all, yeah, but there, I know there is also a feeling of frustration, Stacey, that I suppose things were allowed to get to this state, and B, that there's a lot of talk, but so far, at least, we haven't seen much action.
Yep, I would agree. I think this has been years in the making. This hasn't just happened since post-COVID. COVID has exemplified the situation by way of skill shortages and materials being of shortage. But actually, this we've lacked investment in housing supply for many years. And actually, not that I would suggest that the UK has it 100% right, but you know, you need to look to Europe to know that the opportunity to rent and the way in which we measure our own personal success in this country is about how we own our home. And actually, there's lots of other tenure types that allow and afford for us to be able to live, you know, fulfilled lives. Yes. And the opportunity to, you know, contribute. I don't own my home, I rent, and I consider myself to be a successful businesswoman who, you know, is contributing to my community where I live. I think we just need to change the narrative a little bit more. And the Australian dream could be many, many different things to many, many different people. We don't need to just have the one dream. Dreams, yep, are there to be big.
That's right. So that's right. And actually, you open the door to so many things here, Stacey. And this is the epitome of a good conversation. The judging of success in Australia really is quite a weird place in some ways, because as you say, judging of success is if you don't have your own home, you're a failure, and if you do, yeah, you're a millionaire, so that's all, no worries about that, all good, thumbs up, and that's about the end of it, that's the end of the conversation. Yeah. But that's probably the problem. It's the head in the sand attitude, perhaps, that I'm on song with you there, and I understand completely what you're saying. There's so much
Yeah, there are children are growing up in a world where they may never have the opportunity to purchase a home, and we shouldn't set them on the pathway at this point to kind of failure, you know, in itself, right? Like they're going to have exciting lives. I think we kind of need to work towards more of a well-being and making sure that we're happy and that we're doing all the things that we want to do in life. And I think that's so much more than just owning your home and maintaining that property as an asset. It should be about, you know, going to work and enjoying what you do and contributing to your community and being socially engaged with people, which we're becoming less and less able to do given all the internet and all those technology opportunities. There's a balance between it, I think.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's right. And as far as contributing to society, you through your role with Believe Housing are a part of the contribution that is so important to so many Australians, and an increasing amount of Australians. You only need to see the homeless figures. So I guess this is why it's an inspiration to learn exactly what you're doing through your work with Believe Housing. Is it true? I think last year, was it, Stacey, there was a $100 million investment in social and affordable housing from you guys?
Yeah.
So that was, I guess you got Woodville, West Torrens and some other properties. Where are your properties around Adelaide? Or?
So we've got 24-unit block in Woodville with 6 villas attached to that. And then we've got Mansfield Park that will be available in the new year, which are townhouses. And that's a community that's been built for families. These are affordable rents. So very much those people who are working and can't afford what would have been private market rent, but now would fall into the category of affordable rent. I think the opportunity that we've found ourselves in, both with support of state government as well, is the ability to be able to build and develop some really great quality homes for people to live in and thrive in. And so I'm delighted to be able to be contributing and participating in some of those really large projects.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you're doing. And that's, I guess, as a leading example to other institutions and organisations around the country. And I suppose this is one of the reasons why I was so honoured to be in contact, because I had wanted to shine a light on this for some stage through the magazine, and indeed with the radio show when we start that up next year, we want to continue that. And what you're doing, I guess, is particularly for the needy too, Stacey, the needy, I guess, explain that word needy. I mean, a lot of different images come to mind, but are there people that are particularly unlikely to get normal rent because of their situation, and who are they?
Yeah, so we've got kids who are leaving care at 18. They don't have anywhere. They have youth allowance, which doesn't really cover any private rental. So they really struggle. We've got age pensioners who also really struggle. The Anglicare SA affordability rent snapshot really does show and shine a light on just really how challenging it can be for these cohorts, people with disabilities. Now, I think people with disabilities is an area really that anyone could find themselves in. You know, we all, with the blessings, we walk through life trying to be as healthy as we can, but sometimes circumstances take us down a different pathway, and you know, we can never take that for granted. People can find themselves in these situations, and often it's those people who have never had to access these types of services, social services, and the type of community work that we do, that find themselves trying to navigate it. And it is difficult to navigate. So we do, we will always work with those particular cohorts, women fleeing family and domestic violence. You know, these are areas that are particularly challenging, and we always try to rise to those challenges because people really need that help. But more and more, we're seeing people who are working one, two jobs who can't make ends meet.
Yeah, increasingly so, Stacey, and almost, well, not almost, it has changed. The idea of a homeless person, or the demographic of the homeless person, age, employment status, has changed dramatically, so that it is reaching out and encompassing more people, this crisis. And but I mean, you would be well aware of how important it is, I guess, to have housing as part of a stable society and a community. What creates a community, and how important is a community, and at least feeling part of a community, to the individual?
I think you need a balance. Like, you need a balance of people who are private renting, social housing, affordable housing, home ownership. You know, in the UK, in estates that have been built, certainly in the one that I grew up in, we had a mixture of tenure. And that's what builds a well-rounded community. You have community people who perhaps are having a bit more success in their lives, reaching out and helping those who are perhaps going through a harder time. That takes the burden off of government services. You know, those, never underestimate the power of your neighbor. And I think if you have well-rounded communities, they sustain themselves, they manage themselves really, really well. And like I say, you know, we all different tenure types, everybody brings something different. You know, refuse collections, if we don't have people collecting our refuse, that's a real issue. If they can't afford to rent, then we're going to have a major problem there with our infrastructure. So, you know, everybody has the ability to turn up, make a contribution. And I think we should be enabling people by way of safe, secure, affordable accommodation to be able to help support our communities. If one part doesn't work, none of it works. So we really need to take a far more holistic view in, you know, who lives in our communities and what that really looks like and shapes up to be.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so true, Stacey. And I guess if we look at a stable society based on housing, then of course we are in a bit of strife, because we need this to be an essential part of a stable society, where people can finish their job and know they're going home to have a roof over their heads and everything. I guess this is the philosophy and the actions of Anglicare and Believe Housing. because it then trickles down, I guess, to so many other things. We have violence, we have an increase in so many things that are detrimental to a stable society.
Yeah, people who have fear are not going to, you know, take steps to improve themselves. And I think it's really, we need to foster a way in which to give people security and support when they need it. They might not always need it. They might not always need social housing or affordable housing. And we've had plenty of tenants who have gone on to home ownership. You know, your dreams can happen if that is your dream. I think it's just about opening that discussion a little bit more. And, you know, we're doing some work at the moment with our tenants to access education opportunities for them so that they can start to do volunteer work and build confidence to go back into the workplace. So, you know, there's lots of things that we can do. And like I said, I grew up in community housing. I didn't have an affluent background, but what I did have was safe, secure home and the ability then to access education, consistent education, the ability to have good health care, be well fed, all of those things. And you know, social interactions with people.
To feel cared for.
Yeah. There was lots of love in my house, right? Like it didn't, just because we didn't have lots of money didn't mean to say that we didn't have the love. We did. It was just, unfortunately, sometimes that doesn't pay the bills. So, you know, I think I look at it as I'm here with my lived experience to really speak to those who perhaps can't, and try to elevate the opportunities that if you give someone a home, if you give them the tools, they can achieve anything. And we shouldn't write people off just by way of the tenure that they hold at the time.
Yes. And so true. It's you're reading my mind a bit, because as you say, to provide people with security through housing allows them, or puts them rather, into a better position to be able to give to society. I guess you speak of your personal experience and being loved and being feeling cared for and being allowed to go out and give to society. There are so many good people out there, I imagine, Stacey, that would love to be in a position to be able to give to society, but first they have to worry about themselves.
Yeah, and we're here to help and support with that. I think, you know, like I said, we're working with our tenants at the moment with the new tenant voice team to really establish a program to access all the free education that's out there. Because often it's about navigating some of these processes, and that they're not necessarily always built with the end user in mind. So we're trying to work with our tenants to just build on that. And equally, you know, never underestimate the ability of confidence and self-belief. And if you have had so many knockbacks, you kind of, you know, you're not feeling great. We know what mental health can do to slow that down and to slow the ability to be able to access and engage with society. So, you know, we can all end up in a situation where we need some help, and that's okay. I think we're getting into a space now where we can ask for help a bit more, and it's not something to be ashamed of. I think we're in a space that, you know, positive things can come, and like I say, forever the optimist. And I just want to enable people to take a step on the path. And if we're able to support them with that on their path to what success looks like for them, then my job's done.
That's good. Yeah, so true. Won't go into too much longer, but I do believe that the current crisis or the current housing dilemma is root of a different problem in Australia, which we could talk about that at another time perhaps, but that is, I guess, it's a deeper problem than you would imagine just looking at it. And it's through attitude, as we were speaking before about the idea of success and failure based on your status with renting and owning, and about Australians' general attitude towards this type of thing. So perhaps we will continue to raise this in the future and talk about it, but that's probably how with governments. Just finally, I guess, Stacey, we spoke briefly at the beginning about the governments, but first of all, the federal government and then the South Australian government, what are they doing and what can they do?
So the federal government have released their $10 billion housing Housing Australia Future Fund. And that's going to generate the opportunity for us to build over 100,000 homes throughout the country, which is fantastic. And then we've also got other state initiatives as well with the Housing Accelerator, which for South Australia is going to bring in 132 million, I believe, into the state for building. So look, at this point, there is lots of money happening and flowing around, and there will be outcomes, I think, for everybody. And it's only going to be a good thing. I don't think, being competitive about trying to solve a housing crisis is really the right approach. I think we should be collaborating and working together and sharing in what works and what doesn't work. And I'm here all day long for that, regardless of, you know, what politician or what they're doing. Like, I'll always work with. And so far I found it to be a really positive environment at this point. It's probably been the most activity that we've seen in the last 2 years since I've came here. It's an exciting opportunity, and I feel like we're on the cusp of being able to put something in place that will have a legacy for future Australians. And if we get it right, and the only way that we're going to be able to do that is if we work in partnership and we have a strong voice and step in time together, really.
Yeah, well said. Stacey Northover from Believe Housing, Anglicare, thank you so much for your time. It's been great talking to you, and we will continue this to shine a light on this in the future. And if you'd like to be a part of that, that'd be wonderful.
I'd love to. I'm delighted to have had the opportunity. Thank you so much.